You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Romans chapter number 13, please. Romans 13. I'd like you to remain seated there. But I'd like us to read together Romans chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. Romans 13, 10 through 14. And as you turn there, you know, so many of these, it's no secret what God can do. I don't know about tomorrow. All the songs that were sung today, God's in control.
Amen.
And you don't have to worry about tomorrow. And place your trust in Him. And then I'd like to challenge you, when we talk to our class this morning, just Sunday school, come to God's house till the day you die. Just till the day you go home to be with the Lord. Be in God's house. You know, there were times as a boy, I can't tell you really much about Sunday school. I remember, I don't know if the Sunday school teachers were great or not. I do remember kindergarten, our pastor's garage was my Sunday school class. And Mrs. Daniels, I can remember her singing Only a Boy Named David. I can remember my junior class, junior fourth, fifth, and sixth, was in an abandoned roller skating rink. And Brother Clarence Nelson would teach us. And I remember so many scriptures he would teach. But I don't know what your kid's going to remember about it, but you're putting something in their life that Sunday belongs to God. Sunday's the Lord's Day. In college, someone gave me a little quote, said, Sunday's the Lord's Day, a holy day, not a holiday. And now looking back, and shorter amount of Sundays left than what I've spent up already, I realize that I love Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night. I love hearing this man sing in the choir, singing the orchestra play, and I love watching you and hearing you sing. I love church. And church has not always been right. I've had a few pastors early in life that had to get out of the ministry for one reason or another. I had one pastor that he was my home pastor, and just such a blessing. The memory of him and his wife, and of course they passed away. But love God's house.
Amen.
And don't get so caught up that, well, that church is, and we get all the reasons. That's the devil trying to get you out of God's house. Let's read together. I like having these doors open. I can see who's coming and going. I just saw the air conditioning men drive by right there. And I also saw the dollar signs going up right there. After hours, double time. And you saw that too, Brother Sly. And I'm fine. You know, we began in the ministry, your dad's church, our home church growing up. We never had it here. We came, no air conditioning. I'm going to over across the ocean next year preaching a pastor's conference. And I said years ago, I'm not crossing the ocean again, but I'm going to on about a 13, 15 hour flight. And where I wind up there is no air conditioning, I guarantee it, but they still come. And there's no padded pews,
yes,
but they still come.
Yes,
and there'll be many fellows coming into the meeting from other islands in canoes.
Yep.
And that's how you get there. And I'm loving it today. Are you cool? It's nice on this platform. Maybe we have a fan going somewhere, but if you get too hot, just come up here and sit. My chair is now empty. Some of you ladies might like sitting there, and then I'll just tag team preach with you in a little bit. Let's read the Bible, chapter 13, verse number 10 through 14. Let's pause at the commas and semicolons and periods. Ready? Begin. Love worketh no
ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that when we decide, and now is our time to wait as we, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light.
wonder if you could help me with one thing right now. I don't have a cell phone or a watch on me, and that clock back there, it's hard to see, difficult. Could just someone yell out to me, what time is it? What time is it? Let's all say it together. What time is it? 11:12. One more time. What time?
11:12.
And we're going to go to 3:12 today. So how many? No, we're not going to 3:12. 11:12. Well, how about if we just stay till they get the air conditioner running? There we go. It's 11:12. I'm preaching on knowing the time. Do you know what time it is? I'm not morbid. I believe in life. I love life.
Amen.
I want to live a long life. My mother and dad lived a long life. I'm not looking to get on the next exit out of here. Sorry, funeral director. Yeah, you're not getting money out of me that fast. But I'm just going to tell you something. I've tried to live my life. I've tried to approach this pulpit for almost 50 years now, preaching here, knowing this could be my last time. All my older friends that preached the Word of God, they're all passed away. Now, there may be a few men that are older than me in the ministry, but very few. You know, life gives you a window. And you're going to have to know the time. I don't know if it'd be a car accident that I die or a plane accident. I know a preacher's wife died in a car accident. I know a preacher that died in a plane accident. I know preachers have died with cancer. I know preachers have died with other diseases. I know preachers that preached on Sunday and on Monday morning, they fell over dead in their office with a heart attack, age 68, age 72. I can think of two right there. I know their strokes have taken the lives of preachers. I'm not morbid. I'm just telling you this. I know one day I'm going to die. And I'm not living for death. I'm living in life. But I want to know the time. I know my time is getting used up real quickly. I looked at men that are 10 years older than me, 15 years older, and we have several in this church, and you're doing great. But I don't believe I could pay pastor in this church 15 years from now. I wish I could. I might be sitting in this church listening to someone else preach. God knows. I just know the time. The time of the rapture of the church is near. Jesus is coming again. And one day the trump will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. It may be, we sing about today. This may be the rapture. I know the day is coming, there'll be deathbeds. I know the day is coming that if you know the time, you know the time with your marriage. Do you know that if you don't do something real quickly, you're going to lose that marriage? You know the time with your kids, if you don't pray it in and ask God, you may see kids that will not contact you. Do you know the time that if you don't get off those drugs and off that drink, you're going to completely destroy your life, and especially when you drive an automobile? Who knows whose life you will destroy in an intersection? Knowing the time, and that's what the Bible says here in verse number 11, and that knowing the time, it is high time to awake. And so first I want to point to our attention, it's not sleeping time, it's awake time. The alarm went off, and it's not time to hit the snooze button.
Yes, sir.
It's time to wake up. Not just in church, but wake up in life. Sir, do you realize that marriage needs to be serviced? Do you realize that marriage must be serviced? It cannot be, I come home to arguments all day long. It cannot be that you come home, sir, and it's arguments all night long. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. My children do not have manners. My children do not have respect. My children are not obedient. My children live on their cell phones. It's time to get your head out of the sand and wake up. It's wake up time. It's time to become alert. We're running out of time to get right with God. Right with God in salvation. Right with God in our home. Right with God with our family. It is high time to wake out of our sleep. Recently, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, our church has been aware of death. That 19-year-old boy, I saw that morning, about 6:30 in the morning, that accident on a motorcycle by himself, and just lost control. And you see all the markers that are down there. And that poor little family, you see their boy lay in that street, and they took him up, and now they've had his funeral. I've seen the crowds of people gathering two lanes of the street out there, lighting candles and the things they're doing. It's just right here. It's just right in my backyard, literally. 19 years of age, probably, undoubtedly, with all the people that have been coming, undoubtedly a wonderful kid. We have 3 people in this church that the last several weeks, their parents have passed away. Many of us have a doctor friend. He's helped us so much, probably 20, 30, 40 people in this church. The doctor for the San Jose Sharks, very healthy man, very good man, very great man. Some of our folks are in the office, and he's 54 last week. He just fell over dead with a heart attack. He texted me that morning, he said, "Pastor, you haven't seen me for a while. You need to get in." That night he was gone. In our membership, we just recently know of a 3-year-old related to this church and a 5-year-old that both died. Little children within the last couple weeks passed away. The drowning accident. Our life is but a vapor. We think at age 19, well, there's I'm invincible. We think at age 54, I'm invincible. 3 years old, 5 years old, a full life ahead of you. And there's others that I could quote. I'm certain by that if they gave us some more thought. I'm talking about the time. We do not know really what time, how many days we have left. I often think of loved ones and friends, and I thought of our doctor friend this week. What about 6:30 at night, he passed away in the office. 12 hours before that, at 6:30 in the morning, he didn't realize that it was 12 hours left. And then at 9:30 in the morning, he didn't realize there were 9 hours left. And he was a good man. I'm not saying anything ill about him at all. And then 6 hours, God knew the time's coming down. Doc, you've helped so many people. You've cared for so many people. But you got 6 hours left. I know that. You don't know that. I got 3 hours left. I got 2 hours left. I wonder right now if this is the day, the Lord's day, someone in this church, who knows what 12 hours from now is going to be. I wonder if I have 1 hour left. 2 pastors in the city of Santa Clara, California, stood in the pulpit. And while they were preaching to God's people, fell over dead of a heart attack in the 50 years I've been here. 2. And there are not that many churches in Santa Clara. I want you to know that it's time to wake up. I don't want to have one thing against the people of God and angry toward you that cannot go to bed at night and say, "Well, I don't like that member. I don't like those people. I'm mad at my wife. I'm mad at my kids. I'm mad at their mates. I'm mad at my 14 grandkids." No, sir, not one iota. Everybody may not dot the I like I dot it or cross the T like I cross it, but friend, I am not going to lose sleep and friendship over somebody that may not dot the I across the T just like me. I know salvation is just, it's dot the I across the T. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But it's awake time. Get awake. You've heard this. I won't be lame. My dad would wake me up in the morning. My dad was so loud. He was 90% deaf. But with hearing aids, you could hear it. He'd come in the room, oh, it is morning, the sun's yelling, screaming, loud. Jack, wake up. Dad, pull the covers up, put the pillow over my head. He'd come back in a few minutes. Since Jesus came into. No, Dad, leave, Dad, please leave. Son, I'm coming back in a few minutes with water. Gonna throw it in your face, you're not awake. You know the wonderful thing about life? You grow out of that. And then we had three kids. It's payback time. Tabitha is here, she can tell you, since, and I'm not as loud as my dad, but I'm fairly loud. I'm the loudest man in this church other than one other fella, and he thinks he can amen louder than me. Let me hear an amen, brother.
Amen.
Oh, that's a sissy. Are you ready? I am very depressed in life because he can amen louder than me. I saw him on a ladder or something over here a few months ago, and I said, hey, cross parking, hey, Peter, give me an amen, a manly amen. He yelled. I said, oh, brother, I've lost my position as the loudest man in this church. It's time to wake up. And my dad wanted me to have some character about getting up in the morning. It's time to wake up. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6? That's all I have you turn, and I'll give you the remainder of it tonight without you having to turn. In 2 Corinthians, page number 1234, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible like mine, you bus kids, you're listening so well. Thank you for putting your phones down. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Walked in a store this week in a different city, and the girl said, you're the pastor in Santa Clara, aren't you? I said, I am. She goes, you know, for years, Brother Tim was my pastor in the youth department, and rode the buses, got saved here. You know, the Bible says this, not only is it awakening time, the Bible says in verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of thy salvation I have succored thee, brought you close to me. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The accepted time. It's the wake-up time. It's accepted time. You know what the accepted time means? It's the right time. Remember the athletes used to come here a lot and sing, at the right time, at the best time. He came, it's in our song book. You know, today is the day of your salvation. I wonder if these that I've mentioned and others, I wonder if they had the opportunity to hear the gospel before their death. Today, if you put off, God says, today, if you will harden your heart, harden not your hearts as in the day. Don't harden your heart, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Don't harden your heart toward God. Amen. Don't say no to God. Oh, that night, that little church over here, 20 minutes, when I stood next to my dad 68 years ago, and I knew God wanted me to get saved. That was my day. That was my day I was supposed to get saved. And I just I wasn't brave enough to walk down that aisle at the close of the service and have someone show me. And the first stanza our church would always sing, they sang the second stanza, about the third stanza, I was in turmoil standing next to my dad, and I thought, I need to get saved, but I'm embarrassed, I'm shy, I'm backward, I can't. And I did this, and I walked out, just stepped out like this. When I stepped out, a peace and a calm came over my soul. I don't know how it's going to be for you, but I tell you, I began walking down. That did seem like a long walk. And the pastor, Pastor Smith, I said, I want to get saved. And he said, Viva Morningstar, come and lead Jack to Christ. You know what? That was my day. I often wonder, Brother Oxen, I had to say no to God that day. That was the right time to get saved. You know, the right time for you to get saved today. It says right now, today is accepted time. Today is the right time. Today is the right time to get saved. Today is the right time to get right with God. Today is the right time to say, God, I surrender. I give. I'm going to do my own thing any longer. I'm going to follow your will. It's wake up time. knowing the time. It's accepting time, knowing the time. It's acquisition time. You don't need to turn there, but twice in the New Testament says, Colossians and book of Ephesians, redeeming the time. To acquisition means to buy something, and to redeem means to purchase. God said, I purchased you, redeemed how I love to proclaim it. But then he says, I'm expecting you to redeem the time. Buy up every hour this week. Make every hour count for God. Yes. Just make every single hour count for God. My phone on Sunday morning tells me how long every day I'm on the phone. I was on the phone every day last week on my cell phone, let alone the church phone, 2 hours and 36 minutes a day. And that's a lot of time. A lot of text. A lot of calling back to people they need. A lot of preachers that I'm dealing with. A lot of things that are happening in life. But 2 hours and 36 minutes, and I don't believe those 2 hours and 36 or 238 maybe minutes, I don't believe they were wasted moments. That's a lot of time. I wasn't playing video games. Don't even have them on there. I wasn't watching TV. I wasn't spending, maybe at the very most, if I'd spend 3 minutes a day on getting the sports scores, I kind of like to see that. I'm not reading the daily news. I'm not seeing that. I was working for God, but I want every moment this week, it's going to have to count for a wife, for a family, for our children, for this church, for the things of God. I don't want to waste God's time. I want to acquire it. I want to buy it up. You dads that are raising, you have three beautiful little girls, elementary age girls. Just, oh, watch you walk up and they always bring them up to me and they all, hey, pastor, hi, pastor. I watch that. You're so blessed. You're just so blessed to be a dad and have kids in your home and pray with them at night, tuck them in at bed at night with your wife and eat a meal with your wife and raise three girls. That's three weddings you have to pay for. And three little girls, three little children, one boy, two little girls. I watch their family in tow. They're all husband and wife, those little kids with them. And you four, and two are leaving your home next year to go to college. How did that happen? He came to our church in second grade. His parents got saved. And Brother Panera got saved and went through our elementary, our junior high, our high school, our college, and for 20 years been on staff working with the school. How did that happen so fast? Those days, Mrs. Panera, are about over with the family table because everybody is in your house working. Three kids are working and jobs are working and mom and dad are working and we're all moving and moving and moving. And you have to grab whatever every moment. Brother Miss Chung, how did that happen so fast? You got married and then those two girls and now they're adults. You got to acquire, God gives, grab the time you have. I saw Brother Abel and Leslie this morning, and they're three girls are such beautiful girls. Their wedding, I remember. Now those girls are growing up. You're in here somewhere, I don't know where. But you better buy up the time you have. Amen. It's wake up time. Yeah. Awake. It's the accepted time. It's the perfect time. Hey, by the way, it's an acquisition time. Invest in something that's going to count. It's anguish time. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. What's your burden today? Everybody has them. Is it your health? I know some surgeries this week coming up, very dangerous, very serious. Is that what has you so troubled today? And I understand, I'm not saying you're wrong. I understand that. Some of you are trying to get this thing straightened out with the doctor about chemo. I understand. But God understands all your troubles. It's anguish time. Pour out your heart to God. My marriage is in trouble. My children are in trouble. My health is in trouble. My finances. Help me, God, will you obtain, I want to obtain mercy to find help in the time of need. You see what it is? It's awake time. It's acceptance time. It's acquisition time where you buy up the time. It is anxiety time. I think I'll close her down here. It's assessment time. How you doing? 1 Peter 4:17, it is the Bible says that knowing the time, that you know the time that judgment must begin at the house of God. This nation needs a revival real quickly.
Amen.
Nobody gets in for office is going to change it. We're spending money we don't have. We're not going to make it. We're fraternizing with heathen nations around the wine glass and the beer glass. We're not going to make it. We're blaspheming God with redefining everything, marriage and male and female. We blaspheme God. We kill babies. We're not going to make it. I'm going to tell you something. You know how this whole thing could change? Not on November 5th. It could change this morning. On September 29th, across America, where God's people come to an old-fashioned altar and say, in my heart, I'm going to get right with God. It's time to assess where you're going.
Amen.
Where are you going with your marriage? If you keep going this way, you got 10 years in, what's it going to look like when you get 50 in? I've talked to more people this week, especially at different places, have been making running errands and go to stores and always inviting, and it's almost without fail, I've been looking for a church. Some promised me that maybe today was going to be the day, maybe you're here. Some said, I'm going to do my best Sunday night to be there. I'm working all day Sunday, but I'm trying to be here. You know, I'm finding people are realizing we need help. It's assessment time.
Amen.
Can I give you one more? It's adversity time. My Bible says the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. It seems like much of our churches, they don't want sound doctrine. A man told me in a business this week, he goes, you know, you say you're the pastor. We're going to church, all of a sudden they have a woman pastor. He goes, I love my wife. She's a surgeon. I love my wife. I love our family. But I want to sit under a woman preacher. I don't think that's the Bible. I said, well, you're right. So what do you think about the home? I said, well, our church, y'all welcome to come. Every men with men, women with men, y'all welcome to come. But we believe the Bible says male and female created he them. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. You know, it's time to realize that if the Lord tarries, a terrorist will have more respect than a Christian. So if that's what it is, well, let's go run and hide. Why would you do that? Life's too great. As we think of our life, do you realize it today that if you live to be 70, God says you live to be about 70, that you're going to spend 20 years of your life, think of this, sleeping. I can give you 20 more years, just don't ever go to sleep. But that won't work. You have to sleep. In fact, all ages, I see teenagers 8 to 10 hours a night, and basically everybody 7 to 8 hours of light at night. A child, a baby, sleeps 15 to 17 hours a day. You're going to sleep 20 hours. You're going to work 20 years of your life. You're going to eat 6 years of your life. I can hardly wait to eat in a few minutes. You're going to play for 7 years of your life. You know, Brother Telly, when Miss Treber and I came here almost 50 years ago, a man lived to be 68.8 years. That was the average death rate in America. A man would live to be 68.8. We have gained on it 10 years. We're at 78.8 now. Women, you outlive men by about 2 years. But if we live to be 78, God's word says in in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days. If you live to be 70, you're going to live. If we're to number our days, you'll live 25,550 days. How many days till you reach 70? Just take your calculator. Don't think about leap year and all that. Just 365 times 8 years. I'm 62, 8 years. See how many days you got left. Now, granted, we might go beyond that. I'm not trying to say, okay, I'm 70, I gotta die. I'm 37, and I know I'm gonna die. Thank you for not laughing when I told you I'm 37. Do you realize that it's time to wake up? I ask you what time it is, and now that time has passed. I think I said it was 11:12. What time is it right now? Does anybody have a watch on? What time is it? That's a short message. You owe me more time. Knowing the time. Do you know what time it is? See, when I said that earlier and preached on it, you said it's time for me to get right with my wife. It's time to keep my mouth shut. I always have an opinion to my wife. I have something to say all the time. Maybe I ought to just, it's time to silence my mouth. Perhaps that's what a lady should say. It's time to be quiet. Did God say, it's time for me as a mama to sit down and talk to my little girl and tell her how much I love her and my little boy, and I'm so glad I'm your mama. It's time to start playing ball with your kids, Dad. It's time to start thinking about, if I die as a man and I have these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids, my wife will have no money. So I better figure this thing out, how that if I die suddenly, she has enough to pay the bills. I don't know how to tell you about insurance and all that. I'm just saying it's time to think about it. A man was dying. A man of God came to Hezekiah and said, you're going to die. And he said, it's time to set your house in order. And today, would you know the time? It's time to get everything in order. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Father, so serious a moment. That knowing the time, I know time is so important. Time is filled with a quick transition. Time is so short, it's here for a moment, then vanished away. Thank you for these that are already coming. I pray that people be saved today. People be baptized today. People unite with this church today. People get right today. People come with their anguish, their heartache, and come and deposit them at the old altar today.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.